Amen.
Amen.
Songs have gone up.
Amen.
Praises have been shouted. Amen. And it's now time for the word.
Amen.
It is indeed an honor and a pleasure to introduce my co-laborer in the ministry. You inspire me. And I say that because she has a courage to proclaim the word of God. Even during these times. Shall we stand for the speaker of the hour?
Amen, amen, amen.
Reverend Michelle Leapheart.
Giving all glory and honor and praise
Amen.
To Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, and to our Heavenly Father and the wonderful, blessed Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
It's just good to be in the house of God on this morning and to just have an opportunity to bring a word on behalf of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So I'm not going to have you stand long. We'll turn to our scripture, which is found in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm just going to have us read one verse this morning.
All right. Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. And it reads as follows. It says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated, and I'm going to bow for a word of prayer.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come in the name of Jesus. We come thanking you and praising you for another day of life. And Father, I just come asking even now that you would just hide me behind the cross, Lord God, asking that your Holy Spirit would just take over, that the words of my mouth and even the meditations of my heart, even my very thoughts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And let the people of the Lord say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So today, I believe, is the beginning of Advent. Amen. If you're that Christmas season, the 24 days leading up to what we celebrate as the birth of Christ. Amen. And so it's a joyous season. And even before I start on this message, let me just say that I know there are some people, even Christians, who don't celebrate Christmas because they say it's all materialistic and that it's worldly. And I just want to say to those who are listening that the only way Christmas becomes worldly is if you take Christ out of it.
Amen.
As long as you leave Christ in Christmas, we do want to celebrate.
Amen.
We do want to thank God.
Amen.
We do want to praise him that he sent his only begotten son into the world. And so do not be afraid or ashamed to say that you are a Christian.
Amen.
And that you do celebrate
Amen.
The holiday that we call Christmas. Amen. My topic for this passage of scripture this morning is going to be the real deal.
All right. Amen.
The real deal.
Amen.
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 We're kind of living in dangerous times, I think, anyway, with this thing they call AI, artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
It's a little scary to me because it can do things that, in my opinion, it ought not be able to do. Amen.
Amen.
I recently heard that AI created a country singer, and people were buying his music, only to find out that he really doesn't exist.
Right.
I recently saw a recipe,
mm-hmm.
And it looked so good. And so I was reading the content, the ingredients, and I was reading how you go about making this recipe. And at the very bottom, it said that this picture has been generated by AI. Yeah, 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 yeah. So that says to me, I don't know what that recipe might have looked like if I ever made the attempt to make it. And so this whole concept of artificial intelligence is allowing us to do things that produce counterfeits.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
It allows us to produce fake things.
Right.
And the last thing any nation needs is more counterfeits and more fake things.
Right.
It's hard enough trying to decipher what is what. Already. And then to add to it this thing that we really cannot see and we really don't completely understand and allow it to begin to generate things as truth when in reality it is not truth. And so we are just living in dangerous times. Amen.
Amen.
And so when we look at this scripture, Jesus came into the world. And he came preaching and teaching the word of God. The scripture says that Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I came to fulfill them. And so Jesus had come to earth to show people what the law really meant. He came to earth to help people understand what God was trying to establish when he established the Ten Commandments and all the many laws that followed. Well, why would Jesus have to do that? Because after all, the people did have the law. So why would Jesus have to come and let them know that he has come to fulfill the law? Well, the problem was there was a set of people called the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were in charge of implementing the law. The problem with the Pharisees was they weren't the real deal.
Amen.
The Pharisees had some really big problems. They were religious people. They were the religious leaders. But even though they were the religious leaders, they did not understand the law of God. Now, anytime you have somebody calling themselves a religious leader, anytime you have somebody calling themselves a Christian leader, and they do not understand the word of God, you have a problem. Because it's easy to pretend that you are a Christian. It's easy to pretend that you understand the word of God. It's easy to pretend to get dressed up and come to church and say that you are a Christian, but not know the God behind the word of God. And so you could pretend to be a Christian. You could pretend to know his word. You can pretend to be a teacher, a leader, and just a religious person, but have no idea what it is that you're worshiping or who it is that you're worshiping. And so Jesus came, and you know, we always think of Jesus as meek and mild, and he was. But when it came down to business, Jesus was the real deal. When it came down to correcting people, when it came down to setting things straight, when it came down to defending his father, when it came down to him defending his status as savior of the world, Jesus was not meek and mild. Jesus did not hold back. When it came down to godly things, when it came down to heavenly things, Jesus was the first one to be bold and to speak up. And so he continuously spoke up to these Pharisees because the Pharisees were leading the people astray. In addition to the laws that God had already set in place, they added about 200 more. They like to dress up in these fancy robes with the little tassels hanging down. They used to like to walk around and be pious. They used to walk around and act like they were big shots. They used to expect the people to bow down to them, to acknowledge them, to esteem them. And so they had this arrogance about them. They had this attitude about them that they were better than others. And they are trying to teach people to follow Christ, but the problem was they weren't following Christ themselves. And so Jesus had to come on the scene. And Jesus had a lot of names for these Pharisees. One of them was hypocrite. Yes. Now, people get offended if you say they are a hypocrite. But Jesus had no problem calling out these Pharisees. He said that they were hypocrites, and he didn't just say it once. He said it on several different occasions. He called them hypocrites. Well, what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is somebody who is basically wearing a mask. They are just playing and pretending to be something that they are not. Kind of like an actor in a play. So these men were acting to be religious. They were pretending like they knew what God expected of people, but they had no idea. And Jesus could see through all that. How many people know that Jesus could see through our phoniness? Jesus can see through our fakeness. Jesus can see the real deal. And when it came to the Pharisees, he knew what he was dealing with, and he had no problem calling them out and saying, "You are hypocrites." And then he also called them vipers and serpents. Why would he call them vipers and serpents? Because in Jesus' mind, in his holy perspective, they represented the evil one. Yeah. Amen? Even though they were in the church, even though they had the law, even though they were teachers and trying to teach the people and lead the people, Jesus knew that they did not have the heart of God.
Yeah, that's right.
They were evil. They were mean. They were putting burdens on people that were unnecessary. They were requiring people to do things that they wouldn't even do themselves. And Jesus looked at them and said, "Not only are you hypocrites, but you're vipers and you're serpents." And then he called them whitewashed tombs. Well, what does that mean? That means that they're looking good on the outside, like many people who come to church on Sunday. Looking good on the outside, but what's inside of a tomb? A dead person, amen? And so he was saying, you're all dressed up, you look good, but inside, what really counts, you're just dead as you can be. There is no life in you. You have nothing to offer anybody because you are dead inside. You have no soul. You have no spirit. And yet you walk around piously like you are somebody, somebody. And so Jesus called them out and said, no, that's not who you are. And that is not representative of my Father. And so Jesus had to come down to earth, and part of his mission, in addition to saving us, was to get this thing straight. He wanted people to know, stop following them. They are the blind leading the blind. And if you keep following them, you are going to stumble. And not only are you going to stumble, but you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. How many people know that we need to watch who we are following? Oh, you follow some people and you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It might sound good, but it's not good. They might say it's truth, but it's not truth. Somebody sent me a leak last week and they were like, "Oh, Michelle, watch this and call me back and tell me what it means." And so I watched it and I was just totally confused. This young man was talking about destiny and purpose and using the scripture to talk about how God can lead you into your destiny and purpose. And it all sounded good, but in my mind, it had nothing to do with the scripture. And so I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm not one to really scroll. I don't do social media and those type of things. And so I don't know what's out there, but every now and then people will send me something. And I'll just be left scratching my head. I'm just like, what is this? We're so far off track, y'all. So far off track. It sounds good, and because it sounds good, the people think it is good. But it's not good. Everything that glitters isn't what? And so just because it sounds good to your ears doesn't mean it is the Word of God. And so we have to be so careful that we are led to a Bible teaching church. And it's so careful that we are led to people who really know the Lord, that they're in a relationship with God, that they can break things down and help you understand so that you're not drifting by every wind of doctrine. So much out there. And so Jesus came into the world and he wanted to correct these Pharisees. And so what he did was he started what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he started that in chapter 5. He started the Sermon on the Mount. And the first thing he did was present to them what they call the Beatitudes. This is how I want you, the attitude I want you to have as my disciple, the attitude I want you to have as my follower. And it was nothing like what the Pharisees were putting out there. It wasn't pride, but it was humility.
Yeah.
It wasn't burdensome. It was compassion.
Yeah.
It was love. It was everything that they were not. And so he was trying to let the followers know that this is what it really means to follow after me. Not to puff yourself up, but to humble yourself. Not to look down on people, but to show some compassion. To weep when they weep. To mourn when they mourned. To be a peacemaker and not a rebel riler. God looks at us and he is looking at who we are as God's people. I started to do a sermon this morning on love. Because the one thing that's missing in the church is love. We talk about love, but we don't love. We talk about God loves us, and we love the fact that God loves us. But how do we love other people? How Jesus said that this is how people will know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. But there was no love. It was just a church, and a church without love is not a church of Jesus Christ. Because a church without love cannot represent him well. And so he told them about how they are supposed to act. And then he went on to tell them about their purpose. He said, you are the light of the world.
Yeah, that's right.
You are the salt and the light of the world. That means we should be making a difference in people's lives. I know they have a lot of influencers out there now. But if you are a true Christian, you should be an influencer. You should be shedding light in darkness. You should be the one who is presenting hope to somebody. You should be the one that's encouraging, have words of edification, lifting people up, giving people hope, showing them the promises of God, pointing them to Jesus for healing and for deliverance and for help and for all the many other things that he can give us. We are to be the light of the world. We are not supposed to be darkness. People should see us and be glad we're in the room, not dreading that we're in the room. Have you ever been in a room with some Christians and all they do is stir up trouble? And when they stir up trouble, you're questioning, you're scratching your head, and you're trying to wonder out, what's going on?
Yeah.
How can you represent God and behave in the manner in which you are choosing to behave? And so then he went on to tell them about their purpose. But then he says in the scripture, he says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is just right standing. You need to have the right standing with God. To be righteous means that you're in communication with God, that you have gone through everything that God has required you to do, and you're good with him now. You're righteous. You're in right standing. It has nothing to do with you. Has everything to do with him and what Jesus Christ has done for us. We become righteous by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Not because we are perfect. We are not perfect, but we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in his sacrifice. We believe he died for our sins. We believe we can go to him for forgiveness. And because we believe, God says that we are made righteous. And so your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. What is Jesus trying to say? He's saying you got to be the real deal. You can't be faking it like the Pharisees and think you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. You have got to have a relation. Well, how do I become righteous? Well, the first thing you need to do is be convinced. And I mean convinced that you are a sinner. So many people don't believe they're sinners. Don't want to own it, but I don't know how you're going to get saved unless you own it. I am a sinner. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I do need a savior. I do need to be redeemed. I do need to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have it all together. I am a sinner. And so you have to be convinced that you are a sinner. You will not get saved unless you're able to admit that you are a sinner. And not just in a fake way, but in a serious way. And so not only do you have to be convinced that you are a sinner, you have to confess that Jesus is the one who can save you. The Bible says if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will be saved. That God raised him from the dead, that you would be saved. There has to be a confession. So I just can't think I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I need to open up my mouth and declare I am a sinner in need of a Savior. You have to make a confession of faith. You just can't walk around believing it in your head but never saying it out of your mouth. And so there has to be a confession. So to be made righteous, you have to be convinced you are a sinner. You have to make a confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that you need him, that you need to be saved. I need to be saved. When I got saved, I needed to be saved because I was on the way down. And Jesus had to come and lift me up. That's old hymn we used to sing, love lifted me. Love lifted me. That's my testimony. I know that God saved me. I knew I was lost. I knew I needed help. I knew I needed Jesus to help me. And he did. And when I confessed him as Lord and Savior of my life, then he did a most marvelous thing. And he deposited his Holy Spirit in me. And not just in me, but everybody. Once we believe, he'll deposit his Holy Spirit in us. And what's the role of the Holy Spirit in salvation? The role of the Holy Spirit is to convert us, to change us into what God wants us to be. That's what the Pharisees didn't have. They were faking it. They were faking a change, but no change had occurred. They were acting like something was different, but nothing was different. And Jesus saw through all that. They did not have the Holy Ghost. They did not have the Holy Spirit. The only thing that's going to change us is the Holy Spirit. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to change us, then we will become that light. Then we will become that salt. Then we will become that influencer, that person of hope. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do it. And as long as we allow the Holy Spirit to convert us, God sees us as what? He sees us as righteous. And then the last thing we need to do for us to be considered righteous is we have to commit our life to Jesus Christ. Not just to a church. Not just to Sunday mornings. We have to commit our entire life to Jesus Christ. We have to surrender. He said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. It is commitment. You have to move out of the way and you have to allow Jesus to take over. Even if it brings you trouble along the way, because it will bring you trouble. It brought Jesus trouble. One day they decided that they didn't like his teaching anymore. One day they decided that they didn't want to hear him anymore. One day decided he was getting the people too riled up. And so they decided they were going to crucify him. They set him up. They plotted against him. And they set him up to be crucified on a cross. And they crucified Jesus on Friday. They buried him in the tomb, and he stayed there all night, Friday, all day, Saturday. But Sunday morning, the Bible said he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. And so when Jesus got up from the grave, he gives us the same power when we are saved to raise up and to be renewed and to be regenerated and to be revived. And so we ought to be glad about it, that we can become the real deal. We don't have to fake our Christianity. We don't have to fake our salvation. We don't have to fake our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can become the real deal through the power of the Holy Spirit and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. It will save you. It will deliver you. It will free you. And if we just trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, just believe the gospel message, then we will enter into the kingdom of God, and we will hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into my joy. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."